It's great to be here with you to share with you the Word of God. And I know last Sunday, Pastor David started our three-part series, Living Out the Prophetic, with the first part on Making Room. And this Living Out the Prophetic series is a continuation, a follow-up from our Watch Night service. And I pray, and I want to encourage all of you here, even those for you of you who may have gone for the Watch Night service, to go back and to listen online again, so that the Word of God, the Word that's been preached, the prophetic Word for the year, will continue to resonate within us, and God will continue to speak to us in deeper level regarding to the Word. And Pastor David started this series by calling us to make room for God in our lives. And making room for God requires us to build our passion for God and to break the apathy in our lives. Now, as I was preparing for this, I was wondering, why is making room for God important? I mean, we understand, and I'm sure many of us, we've been practicing, you know, doing our time alone with God, spending time with God, praying, reading the Bible. Now, all of these are good and necessary, but why is it important for us to make room for God? And I can't help but to think that making room for God firstly results in us drawing near to God, which would then lead to God drawing near to us. James 4:8, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. You see, when we choose to make room for God, it is us coming before God, intentionally spending time with Him, to draw near to Him, to seek Him. When we intentionally spend time with Him, we are also deliberately posturing ourselves to hear Him. You see, many times we think about spending time with God to be telling God what we need Him to do, presenting to Him our needs, presenting to Him a list of things that we need Him to intervene, a list of prayers that we need Him to answer. But I pray, and I want to encourage all of us here, that when we choose to make room for God, we will deliberately posture ourselves to first hear Him. To hear Him, to hear what He has for us, to spend that time in His presence, and in so doing, to know God, to know His heart and His will for our lives. You see, it is through relating with God in His presence that we receive a prophetic revelation. And the prophetic revelation of God is revealed through His Word. Who God is and what God wants to do is revealed through His Word. And I pray for all of us here that this year you will have a prophetic word from the Lord. If you have not gone for our family communion and you have not been prayed for, I pray that in this year, God will speak to you in a very clear way. Whether through the Bible or through a ministry from a pastor, that God, even in your time of seeking Him, God will speak to you so clearly that you will receive a prophetic word from the Lord. Can somebody say amen? But in order for us to experience the power of the prophetic, the fulfillment of the prophetic, we need to embrace it. You see, when we receive it, we need to embrace it and say that, yes, this is the word of the Lord. We need to believe that this is the word of the Lord, because in so doing, then will we experience the power and the fulfillment of the prophetic. And today we're going to look at one man and how he himself experienced the power of the prophetic when he chose to believe and embrace it. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. In verse 1, it says here, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, who is Naaman? If you read the previous chapters, you will know that God raised the nation of Aram as part of the fulfillment of His prophecy in His plan for Israel and the region. And Naaman was a successful military commander of the army of Aram. And the Bible tells us that the name and valor of Naaman is expanded three times to emphasize his distinction. A great man, a man of renown, because of the victories he had won. He is what you will call a national hero. But he is a leper. He suffered from leprosy. Now, when you see the word leprosy, it's not the disease, the terrible disease that we understand the word leprosy to be. It is not the disease where the fingers will fall off, the terrible disease that plagued people in the past. The word leprosy here, in its original word, it refers to skin disease. It can mean skin disease like severe eczema, a fungal infection resulting in flaky skin. And Naaman's illness, the Bible tells us in verse 27, caused whiteness on his skin. So in all likelihood, it could be a skin infection, an eczema, a fungal infection. And the Bible tells us that Naaman continued to have access to the king, means he's not contagious. Because in those days, in the Old Testament law, if someone is found to have leprosy, the person had to be isolated, the person had to be ostracized until the person is healed. But despite that, it tells us one thing. Naaman had a condition that posed a problem. Because imagine with me, if you're walking on the street and you see someone walking toward you with a terrible skin condition, what would your reaction be? You will what? You will siam, right? You will shun away, you walk away. I mean, it's just normal human reaction. Isn't it true? Right? We will avoid. So can you imagine Naaman with the leprosy? Even though he's a man of value, a man of renown, people will be avoiding him. Wow, don't touch him, later can I infect myself. So it posed a problem. A powerful man, yet powerless to do anything with his condition. Until his servant girl told him to go see the prophet Elisha. And the story tells us that he went then to his king and said that he wanted to go to Israel to see the prophet Elisha. And so the king of Aram sent with him treasures to bring to the king of Israel. Because in those days, if a visiting nation comes into your country, he must go and pay respect to the king first. But the king of Israel is a silly man. When he saw Naaman and with all the treasures, he tore his robes and he exclaimed, "Have you come to trap me? Have you come to destroy me, to kill me?" And then the prophet Elisha heard about it, sent a text message to the king and said, "Hey, chill. Relax. It's not so bad. Just tell the guy to come and see me." And so we pick up the story from verse 9. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana, Pharpar, or the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I just wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became like clean like that of a young boy. When we embrace the prophetic word of God, the prophetic firstly reveals what God wants to do. God's prophetic word reveals what he wants to do and how he wants it done. You see, Elisha told Naaman, "Go wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River." But yet, Naaman was visibly angry because it was not what he thought it would be. He was expecting a spectacular display of power because he would have heard of the exploits of Elisha. He would have heard of the miracles of Elisha. And so he would have come with the expectation that Elisha would do something powerful. Something great, only to hear, not from Elisha himself, but a servant to go wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. I mean, he was upset.
I mean, he could have just washed himself in his own, in the rivers in his own country. Why make him come all the way to Israel only to be told to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River? Is the Jordan River better than the rivers back in his homeland? I mean, if it's so simple just to dip myself in the river, I don't need to come on the way here. You could have just WhatsApp me. Just send me a text and I'll do that. Or Telegram, you know. Why must I come all the way? You see, Naaman is like many of us. You know, I do not know about you, but you know, when I was younger, in the past, Trinity would have conferences, and many of the conferences, the pastors would be praying for every single person. Right? How many of you remember that? And then, you know, sometimes you go there, you come with the expectation that, oh, there will be a powerful word that will be prophesied over me. And you stand there with that eager anticipation. Then you are, because you are in a certain queue, they queue you, they line you up. And then you come to the pastor and see this pastor. Immediately your first reaction is, oh, seeing this pastor. Why not Pastor Gerald or Pastor Dom? And then you, no mind, God speaks all the same. And then when the pastor prays, and then you receive the prophetic word, then you, huh? Let it only, yeah. It's like expecting A5 great Wagyu but receiving Kopitiam bistik. The kind of disappointment. And then what do I do? Join another queue. Go find Pastor Gerald. I see, many a times we come when we have the expectation of a grandiose idea of what God will do or what God will say. We have this grandiose idea that the prophetic revelation of God must be powerful, must be spectacular. And when it's not, we become disappointed. You see, church, the danger that causes us not to experience the power of the prophetic is that when we think we know better or we have a better way. And then the danger is when we try to process the prophetic word with our mind and try to understand it with our wisdom. And we evaluate, we scrutinize, we criticize the validity or the absurdity of the action required of us because we simply do not understand it. We become skeptical and we reject the prophetic word. We do not believe in the prophetic word. Why? Because it does not make sense. Because what we perceive is needed of God does not tally, does not sing with God what He has said to us. But the power of the prophetic is not what we wish for God to do, but the power of the prophetic is revealed in what God wants to do. Can somebody say amen? You see, if the prophetic can be done in the way we want it to be done, then it is not prophetic. It is simply practical. But when God speaks and reveals a prophetic word, it can only be done in how He wants it to be done. Why? Because the prophetic word of God is a revelation, is a declaration of His will, of His ways, what He wants to do in and through our lives. And we need to trust and obey that which God has said. In order for you and I to experience the fulfillment of God's prophetic word for you individually, for you as a family, for us as a church, it is imperative that we learn to trust and obey what we have to do. It's imperative that we learn to trust and obey what God wants us to do. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 tells us that our ways and thoughts are not God's. God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways. Therefore, if we want to experience the power of the prophetic, then we need to learn to trust and obey God's ways. We need to learn to trust and obey God's ways. That is why it is so important that we know God by making room. When we make room for God and we grow deeper in our knowledge of God, of who God is, when we know Him, then we are able to trust and obey Him. Then we are able to trust and obey with a certainty, with a confidence that this is what God wants for us. And only when we do that,
then we experience the power of the prophetic through the manifestation of the supernatural in our lives. When you and I step out in trust and obedience to what God wants to do, only then would the prophetic release the manifestation of the supernatural in our lives. You know, I remember years ago, I brought a team on a missions trip. And one night in a youth meeting, I was ministering and we called for salvation. And so a whole group came. And there was this girl. You know, when I saw this girl, I had this excitement that God's going to do something powerful. Because when I saw this girl was different because her right hand was a stump. Her forearm was missing. That means she did not have a forearm, did not have a palm, no fingers, no nothing. It was just a stump. And so when I saw that, I immediately thought to myself and I said to God, God, are you going to make the fingers grow? Am I going to see a powerful miracle tonight? Am I going to see the sprouting of fingers? God, that's what you want to do, right? That's what you want to do, isn't it? And so when I began to want to pray, I said, God, that's what you're going to do. And God said to me, no, that's not what I want to do. That's what you wish I would do. But your wish is not my command. Okay, then God, what you want to do? God told me to prophesy to that girl the joy of the Lord, to minister the joy of the Lord into her, to speak emotional healing. I'm like, God, seriously, of all the things you can say and of all the things you can do, the joy of the Lord, seriously. I mean, just last night in another meeting, we saw a lady stricken with stroke for 10 over years standing up and walk, you know. God, I have a reputation to live out to, you know. The expectations are high. People are expecting another spectacular thing. God, I cannot lose face. My reputation is very important. Are you sure? Yes, just declare, prophesy the joy. Seriously, God, are you sure? Yes. So we had this debate back and forth, and God said to me, are you dumb or what? Just do it. Okay, surrender. In case gonna struck by lightning. And so when I began to stand in front of the girl and began to prophesy the joy of the Lord. You see, something else about the girl that caught my attention. She was a very different teenager. It was such a darkness that just enveloped her. Her disposition was one of darkness, of gloom. And when she looked at me with her eyes, I tell you, the eyes were scary. There was such an anger, pain in her eyes. And that as soon as this dark cloud, it just hovered around her, covered her. And so I just prayed, I just prophesied the joy of the Lord, spoke healing and all that. It was just a normal prayer. And after that, when I opened my eyes, it shocked me what I saw. The girl was crying profusely. The auntie that brought her was crying big time as well. And then she was thanking me. And I was like, what? And then when I saw the girl, she was completely different. And her whole disposition was transformed. It's like the darkness was just broken. It just lifted up. And there was such a peace, a light that just surrounded her. And her whole face, she actually smiled at me. There was such a joy in her face. Only a year later, then I found out why she was like that. Because this girl suffered a terrible tragedy at her home. And because of the tragedy, she had this anger and hatred for the dead. And so that explained why. And when I heard about that, I thank God. I thank God I did not insist on what I wish God would do, but I chose to trust and obey what God wants to do. And in so doing, that night, people witnessed the power of the prophetic because I simply trusted and obeyed God. And perhaps for some of us here, as God has spoken to you, there's a prophetic word that God has revealed to you. Maybe you struggle with it because you do not understand it. You look at you think about the prophetic word, you think that it's impossible. It doesn't make sense. It seems too big for me.
Maybe the prophetic word requires you to do something. God is calling you to do something, to reach out to someone, to do something in your office, to rise up, to serve, whatever it may be. Maybe it's a promise of God for what He would do in your life, in your family, in your business. And to you, it seems impossible. Or maybe it does not tally with what you wish it would be. Maybe there's a certain disappointment that, God, are you sure? I thought there would be more. Like Naaman, you expected more. But today, my friends, if you know that God has spoken, will you surrender those doubts? Surrender that unbelief and say, God, today I choose to surrender and say, I want to learn to trust and obey. Because it is not about what I wish you will reveal, but the power of the prophetic will be experienced when I embrace it and know that it is what you want to do. Today, will you learn to trust and obey the God's prophetic word for you? Even when the prophetic words for you seems to be long, taking a long time to be fulfilled, will you still trust and obey God? Because the power of the prophetic is experienced through the revelation of what God wants to do and not what you wish to be done. Secondly, the power of the prophetic is experienced because it reveals who God is. When we embrace the prophetic word of God, the prophetic word of God reveals who God is. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15, it tells us, after he was healed, Naaman went back to see Elisha and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. You know, I would think that Naaman, being the commander of the army of Aram, with the condition, he would have consulted numerous physicians. He would have tried all means and ways to get cured. He would have consulted the mediums. He would have consulted the pagan priests. He would have consulted, worship the pagan gods, hoping that a miracle will happen, hoping that his condition will be healed. But to no avail, until this account where he experienced the power of God and he experienced the healing. Notice what Naaman said, now I know. Now I know. You see, now I know, it's not just a simple cognitive knowing of the person, but it speaks of a recognition and acknowledgement of who God is. It speaks of a deep knowing, not just perceiving, but knowing, a deep, intimate knowing of who God is. You see, God, in revealing the prophetic word, God revealed who He was to Naaman. And Naaman chose to believe and henceforth worship the God of Israel. His confession of faith tells us that he concluded that there is only one God in all the world, the God of Israel. Through the fulfillment of the prophetic word, God revealed himself to Naaman. He revealed that he is the sovereign God who is in control, the sovereign God who knows what he wants to do, the sovereign God who knows how it will be done, the sovereign God who chose to reach out to Naaman, even though Naaman was undeserving because he was a Gentile. God revealed himself not just as a sovereign God, but God revealed himself as the God of love and grace. Because if we understand the Old Testament, God would never reveal himself to the Gentiles. God would never do a miracle for the Gentiles. He will only reach out. He will only reveal himself to his people, the Israelites. But yet in this account, it is so clear, God revealed himself to be a God of love and grace, that he would even heal a pagan commander. It shows us the revelation of who God is. There is power in the prophetic because the prophetic reveals who God is. The prophetic reveals God's heart and desire for us. His heart and desire for us to know and to walk in the fulfillment of His plans for us individually, as a family, and as a church. And I pray that we will recognize that. That we will recognize God's heart and desire for us. You see, my friends, the danger is that we only revel in the work of God's hand and not know His heart. You see, it is so easy to be captivated by the working of God's hands. It's so easy to be captivated by what God does when God displayed the might of His hands. It's so easy to be captivated with the product of the miracle. But I pray that we will not just be captivated with what God do for us, but we will be captivated by God because we will know His heart and His desire behind the miracle. When God reveals to us with a prophetic word, yes, sometimes the word can be daunting. It can be too big for us. And we ask ourselves, why is this happening? Why is this for us? My friend, take a moment not to be fixated with the prophetic word, but take a moment to seek the God of the prophetic word. Seek Him, know His heart and His desire. And that is why we need to make room so that we will know God's heart and desire for us. I pray that we will not only revel in the work of His hand, but more importantly, we will recognize the intent of God's heart for us. We will recognize God's desire for us, that we will encounter God and know who He is through the prophetic word. For some of us, perhaps as we wrestle with the prophetic word that we have, perhaps as we wrestle through the prophetic word that God has given to us individually as a family and even as a church, we struggle with it. Because we think it's too big. We think that it's impossible. We think that it requires the life out of us. We think that it is as though God just wants us to keep doing and doing and doing. But may I ask you to take a moment to seek Him, to know His heart and His desire. And to know His desire for you to encounter Him and to experience a breakthrough in your life. And for some of us, perhaps we may be struggling with that word. Maybe we struggle and we say, God, are you sure? Are you serious? Then, my friend, may I invite you to seek Him in this place later on, to take that moment to say, God, help me to know You. Help me to encounter You. Not just to experience the prophetic, but to encounter You again. To encounter and to know Your heart and Your desire for me. Can somebody say amen? When we embrace the prophetic, we experience the power of the prophetic. Why? Because it reveals what God wants to do. It reveals who He is. And finally, it brings transformation in us. It brings transformation in us. You see, Naaman was visibly transformed. If you look with me in verse 15 to 18, four times Naaman said, "Your servant." He was referring himself as Elisha's servant. A total turnaround. Because if you were to look in front, in verse 11, Naaman said, "I thought he would surely come out to me." You see, in those days, the person of lower social standing, the person of lower social class will come out and greet the one of higher social standing, the one of higher class, higher status. But in this case, Naaman being a commander, Elisha didn't even come out. Instead, he sent a messenger to say to Naaman, he didn't even send a messenger to invite Naaman into Elisha's home. He simply sent a messenger to go tell Naaman to go wash himself seven times. Naaman was insulted. I mean, think about it. If Prime Minister Lee were to come to your house, I'm sure none of us would be sitting in our living room, gyaokaiing with a coffee and reading newspaper. And then he entering, "Hey, you're here. Help yourself. If you need coffee, go pour for yourself." None of us would do that, right? All of us would be outside ready, rushing out to greet him. I think. I'm sure all of us will do that as a mark of respect and honor. But here, Elisha did not do that. And Naaman was insulted because why? He saw himself as higher than Elisha. But notice the transformation when he said,
your servant four times. You see, the power of the prophetic is seen in the transformation that happens in us. And we are transformed firstly in who we are. Naaman was transformed from a mighty, arrogant commander into a humble worshiper of God. That is why he said to Elisha, if you do not wish to accept my gifts, then allow me to bring back as much soil as two mules can carry so that I can make an altar for the Lord God back in my country. There was such a transformation from an arrogant commander into a humble worshiper of Yahweh. But the second transformation is what I want to focus on, is that we are transformed in what we are convicted of. You see, Naaman was convicted of his allegiance to Yahweh because he said, now I know there's no other God except the God of Israel. And Naaman said to Elisha in verse 18, will you please pray for me that God will forgive me whenever I go with my commander to the temple of Rimmon? Because of the conviction in his heart that God is the true God, he could not bring himself to go and bow down to another pagan god. It speaks of the conviction of his allegiance to Yahweh. But not just a conviction of his allegiance. There's another conviction as well. A conviction to the call. And this is where I want to move on from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts 9 verse 15 and 16. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, referring to Paul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and to the people of Israel. Verse 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. In Acts 21, verse 10 to 14, in verse 11, coming over to us, he, referring to Agabus, took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt, referring to Paul, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When the people heard it, they weep and they beg Paul not to go. And Paul replied in verse 13, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I read this, I was impacted. It amazed me. Because if I were Paul, I might have run away. Because Paul was very clear in the prophetic revelation that he received, that he would suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. He was very clear in the prophetic revelation that was given to him that he will be bound in chains and be delivered to die. But yet Paul never wavered from his conviction. The power of the prophetic is seen in the transformation in us, and the transformation is seen in our conviction to the call of God. Yes, there will be many times where God's prophetic word for you will be a revelation of the blessing that God wants to do, will be a revelation of the breakthrough that God wants to bring in your life, will be a revelation of the miracle that God wants to do in your life. But then there are many times where God's prophetic word for you will be a revelation of what God wants you to do for Him. I mean, many a times the prophetic revelation of God will be what God is calling you to do. Perhaps it's a call you to start something in your office for Him. Perhaps it's a call for you to rise up and to serve Him. Perhaps it's a call for you to rise up and go make a stand for Jesus in where you are. And all of these would cost you. But today, the power of the prophetic is seen in our conviction, not to the cost, but to the cause of Jesus Christ. And yes, it can be daunting. It can be scary. I don't deny that. I don't deny that. But the power of the prophetic is seen in the transformation in our hearts. The transformation in our hearts, where we become convicted, if God says it, then so be it. Because it is not my will, but His will to be done. Not my life to be lived, but His life I will live. And I pray for all of us here that if we struggle with what God wants to do in and through us, if we struggle with what God wants you to do as He has revealed to you, and perhaps then we need to come before God today and say, God, I struggle. I confess I struggle. But God, if this is what you want for me, and if I want to walk in the fulfillment of your prophetic word for my life, for my family, for my church, then God, I surrender. I surrender my struggle. And God, renew a conviction in my heart. For some of us, perhaps the prophetic word that God has given to you, a promise, seems to be a long time coming, and there's a wavering in your faith, a weakening of your belief. And perhaps because of that, there's a doubt that it will never happen. Today, will you come before the Lord and say, God, renew the conviction in my heart that this is the word of God. That this is the word of God. You know, at the turn of this year, I was reminded of a prophetic word that God gave to me, my family. And it's been a while coming, and I'll confess to you, I actually doubted it. And I think that it will never happen. Just a figment of my imagination, one of those prophetic imaginations that I would have. But then, so amazingly, and I never told anybody about it. Privately, I came before the Lord and said, God, I want to believe it still. Surrender it, not in my time, in your perfect timing. You know, this kind of Christian things that you say to make yourself feel better. Maybe I'm the only one. Just a couple of days ago, someone texted me. Said God prompted this person to pray for me. And to pray that I will not waver in my faith and belief in God's prophetic word for my life. The person doesn't know what the exact word is, but the person sensed that it's regarding this matter. And it was what I was thinking about. I could only say that it is God. And with that, there's a renewed conviction that if God says it, then God will make it happen. But church, in order for you and I to experience the power of the prophetic, to walk in the fulfillment of the prophetic, there must be that deep-seated conviction. And if you are struggling, if you are wavering, if you are doubting, then today, my friends, do not leave this place the same, but that you will come before the Lord today and say, God, once again, let it be a revelation in what you want to do, a revelation of who you are. And in so doing, renew the conviction in my heart. Then if you said it, I believe it, that settles it. You will make it happen. You will make it happen. Whether for my individual life, my family, or my church. And for us as a church, God has a tremendous plan for us. If you have not been for the Watch Night service, then go back and watch the Watch Night sermon again. And even if you have been, go watch it again. Every time I hear it, it renews a conviction that we are walking in the prophetic fulfillment or what God has for us. Do I struggle? Yeah, because it's too big. But yet, there's a conviction that this is God's will for us. And if God says it, we just need to trust and obey, and He will make the way. He will make it happen. Of that, I'm convicted of. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God of the prophetic revelation, that You, O God, have revealed Yourself, and You, O God, have given Your people, Your child, a prophetic word. And today I pray, Father, that every one of us here, we will experience the power of the prophetic, because it reveals to us what You want to do, not what we wish You would do, but what You want to do. It reveals to us who You are. And many a times, O God, we missed out knowing who You are, focusing only on what You have done. But today, God, I pray, let us be captured again by You, by Your heart for us, by Your desire for us. And God, I pray that we will experience the power of the prophetic, because it brings transformation in us. And let there be a renewed conviction in our hearts that this is truly the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and one looking around. Today, if you're here and you know God's prophetic word for you, and yet you struggle because it seems too big, and you look at yourself and say, it's impossible for me to do it. But today, the power of the prophetic is not in what you can do, but it's what God wants to do. It's what God will do in and through you. But today, will you choose to say, God, I surrender my inadequacies. I surrender my doubts. And I say, God, help me to trust and obey you. Because I know you, because of who you are, I will be able to trust and obey. Today, that is you. You want to say, God, I surrender my doubts. I surrender my inadequacies. God, help me to trust and obey you. And even if the word seems to be taking a long time from coming, I will still hold on to my trust and obey you. If that is you, no one looking around, where you are, lift up a hand to the Lord and say, God, that is me. Lord, help me to trust and obey. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Help me to trust. Thank you. Help me to trust. Thank you. Thank you. Trust and obey you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Second group of you, perhaps for some of us, because of the long time that the prophetic word seems to be taking and being fulfilled, we are losing our confidence. Today, we question not just the word, we question God. But will you today, my friends, come before God today and say, God, I need to encounter you again. I need to know not only the word, but I need to encounter the giver of the word. God, I need to know you. I need to know your heart and your desire for me. Maybe for some of us, we don't understand the word because it's just hard for us to envision it. But today, when you say, God, I do understand. That is why I need to encounter you. To know your heart and your desire for me. What you want for me, oh God. If that is you, no one looking around, where you are, where you lift up your hand, say, God, I need to encounter you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, thank you. Lord, I need to encounter you. I need to know you. I need to hear you. To know your heart and your desire for me once again. Find a group of you. Perhaps, thank you. Perhaps you are here and your confidence is wavering. And then you struggle. You struggle with the word. You say, God, why me? Why this word? Why can't you give me something else nicer? A blessing would be nice. God, what you require of me is scary. What you require of me as a family is scary. What you require of us as a church is scary. But God, if that's what your intent is, if that's your will, then God, renew my conviction to believe. Renew my conviction to walk in the fulfillment. If that is you, you need God to renew your conviction. You want to renew your conviction that this is the prophetic word of the Lord. Where you are, you lift up your hand and say, God, that is me. Renew the conviction in my heart. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, renew the conviction in my heart. Thank you. Lord, strengthen my resolve. Thank you. God, bring about a conviction once again that this truly is the prophetic word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand? As the worship team will lead us, those of you, raise your hands. My friends, I'm going to invite you to come to this place of responding to the Lord, to encounter Him once again, to renew a conviction, to be reinforced in your trust and obedience that this is what God will do, and to know Him, to know His heart and His desire. So first line of this song, those of you, raise your hands. I'm going to invite you to come. Bring up the longest as well. We're going to take some time, just a quick few minutes, to just pray for you before we close the service.
We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more information on our other sermon series or our events and seminars, do visit our website at www.trinity.net. On behalf of everyone here at Trinity Christian Center, may God's presence, peace, and power be so real to you today and every day. God bless.